Now it's time for the Wallops and Assateague Island Report, sponsored by Pohanka of Salisbury. Here's your host, Robin Rothschild.
And good morning. I am Robin, and the very exciting program today. I first of all want to just let our listeners know that the Antares A1 test mission has been completed successfully. So congratulations to everyone. My first guest, we have him via telephone, is Hal Murdoch. He's Director, Strategy and Business Development, Defense and Commercial Division for ATK. Hal, you on the air?
Yes, I sure am. Good morning, Robin. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. We just returned from the successful launch of the Antares rocket, as you mentioned, so it's been a great couple of days.
Yeah, I tell you. And, many of us, local media, have been there every step of the way. And how it could not have been a more beautiful launch or a more perfect day for it.
No, it was absolutely the clearest day that we've had over the last week. With the other launch attempts that we had, they all had aspects of wind and other constraints that prevented the launch, but Sunday was absolutely picture perfect. The orbital team did a fantastic job, and the countdown to the launch was as perfect as it could be. Absolutely wonderful.
Yes, and I know that everybody is still basking in the afterglow.
You bet. It's been a great success.
Hal, I do want to thank you, first of all, for getting up early. I understand you're in Utah.
Yes, I am, and actually, this isn't early. We're here early at ATK going hard at it, so glad to be with you.
Well, just so our listeners know, your company worked with Orbital. You actually supplied the second stage engine, for lack of a better word, and it's a solid fuel motor. Why don't you tell us a little bit about this?
Oh, you bet. ATK produced the upper stage motor called the Castor 30. And this was done in collaboration with Orbital. Orbital and ATK have had a long history of working together, so this isn't the first time that we've done this. We've gone into a lot of cooperative relationships with Orbital to send things into space on launch vehicles like Orbital's Taurus, their Pegasus, which is an air launch vehicle, and we provide solid rocket motors. And in this case, we designed and built a special upper stage for the Antares rocket. So this provides the right amount of payload to resupply the space station. So the solid rocket motor that we built has been waiting for the assembly of the rocket and the finishing of the launch pad, and it helped to make a successful launch on Sunday.
So Al, is this a brand new rocket? I'm sorry, a brand new motor for your company?
Yes, it is. We designed this probably 2.5-3 years ago, specifically for this application. It does have applications for other space launch vehicles, like the Lockheed Martin Athena vehicle that we supply that rocket motor for an upper stage for that vehicle as well. But in this particular case, the Castor 30 gave the Antares vehicle the right amount of performance to get the Cygnus spacecraft into orbit so it can resupply the International Space Station.
You know, it's amazing. I don't think, even though I've been with this project from the beginning, it's still hard to imagine that this was a brand spanking new rocket. And when you hear even the motors were designed for this, it really does kind of make you feel how important this test mission was.
Oh, absolutely. And it was a very, very successful launch. And you could feel the excitement. Orbital has been, they've been a successful space launch provider for quite some time. This was stepping into a new area for Orbital with the liquid rocket engine first stage. That's a new thing for Orbital. And so they were very, very successful in integrating that rocket engine along with our upper stage that they're very familiar with working with ATK to do. But just the professionalism used to get the simulator, the spacecraft simulator, into orbit. The excitement was there. You could hear it in the countdown. You could hear it in the range control of the Mission Control Center. Very, very exciting. And it is, even with experienced companies like Orbital, it is really something to have a new rocket reach orbit. So, and this was very important for NASA as well. They were certainly there watching and helping Orbital along the way, but exciting for everyone to be a part of.
Oh, absolutely. Now, I was reading a little bit about your company, and I didn't. You also work with them on the Minotaur rockets that launched from Wallops.
In fact, as I mentioned, we have ties to Orbital that that go very, very deep. The Minotaur rocket, now there's several variants, but basically Orbital has been very successful using excess ICBM assets, or those strategic missiles like old Peacekeeper missiles or old Minuteman missiles. They take those solid rocket motor stages, they assemble them into vehicles that can be used to launch test and research missions for either NASA or NOAA or other government agencies, mm-hmm. and they launch those from not only the Wallops pad on a different one than Antares used, but they also launch from Vandenberg, and so those are the Minotaur rockets. We also are involved with Orbital for the ground-based mid-course defense missile system. So ATK produces the three solid rocket motor stages that are used in the GMD missile stack, and Orbital turns those into the booster stack. Now, you're probably familiar with the various threats that are increasing around the world, whether it's North Korea or Iran, that those missiles are becoming more and more important. And so Orbital is a key player in providing the propulsion for those missile defense interceptors.
Very interesting. Very, very interesting. And thank you, I may add.
Oh, you bet. Yes,
that's important.
There's a lot of activity that Orbital's involved with, and ATK is very, very pleased to provide the solid rocket motors for those applications.
Well, Hal, I am just thrilled to speak to you. Thank you so much. And I'm sure you'll be coming. You'll be back down when they do the next launch, correct?
I sure will, Robin. And it's a pleasure talking with you this morning. And we're happy to talk about such a success like this. So anytime you you need more information, please let us know.
Oh, thank you so much, Hal. Have a great day. And again, congratulations to you and your whole team.
Great. Thank you very much.
All righty. Hal Murdoch, and he's Director, Strategy and Business Development Defense for Commercial Division for ATK. And they are the company that made the second stage solid fuel motor. I tell you, that launch, I was so fortunate to be there. And again, I've been with this project from the beginning with the Wallops and Astig Islands report. And it was just so exciting to see this go on. We are now going to speak with Mike Whalen. He's a good friend and also the field site manager for the Antares program for Orbital Science Corporation down on Wallops Island. Hey, Mike.
Good morning, Robin. How are you?
I am doing just great. Congratulations again, Mike, to you and your whole team. It was just so spectacular on Sunday.
I think the entire team is just overjoyed with the event on Sunday. Everything went off very smooth. It was an excellent flight, and I can't thank everybody enough for all the hard work that went into making that happen.
You know, Mike, excuse me, just on the phone with Hal, he mentioned, and I think a lot of people were talking about this. You know, it was the launch was aborted on Wednesday. I understand, due to what's called an umbilical cord releasing prematurely.
Yes.
But on Wednesday, it was a little cloudy. I don't think the people would have, even if it went off, in my opinion, it would not have been as spectacular. And then Saturday, the next day, it was kind of cloudy and windy. Sunday, the sky was as clear as could be. It was absolutely beautiful. And boy, that Antares went off just about right at 5 o'clock as planned.
It did, and you're right. Sunday was the perfect day. I think the only weather kind of issue that we were keeping an eye on was the ground winds were rather high, but the launch team assessed them and they decided that we were good to go, and we did the countdown and made it happen.
You know, let's talk about the winds for a second, because when you mentioned that, it made me think of something. I found this so interesting. I believe on Saturday you were worried about some upper winds, and then I heard that NASA launched some of their weather balloons.
Yes, that's correct. Basically, they use the weather balloons to determine what the upper-level winds are. And essentially, some of the concerns with the upper-level winds are if we were to fly and if we did have a problem and they had to destruct the vehicle, there'd be some debris field associated with it. And with upper-level winds that would be too high, it'd be in an area that, outside the boundary which we'd had planned for that type of event. So we have to account for those kind of scenarios, unfortunately,
yep.
In everything we do. But that was a problem there on Saturday.
And, it just made me think of something when we first got up in the bus, the media bus. It's the first time that I ever went out there for a launch where they did give you the rundown just in case. Just in case something happens, run back to the bus.
That's right. That's right.
It's pretty funny, actually. I mean, and very necessary. But I tell you, Mike, you guys did such a great job. It was so perfect. Now, why don't you let us know, what's the next step?
Okay. I think last time you and I spoke, we just completed the hot fire test and mm-hmm. we're gearing up here for a test mission. So completion of test mission kind of marks basically the validation of the vehicle as being ready for flight operations for the Cygnus program. So our very next event is what we're calling the COTS demo, and essentially it's a Cygnus spacecraft. I think they're going to have probably about 500 kilograms of cargo on board.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to launch, hopefully similar to what we just did here on Sunday. And we'll get them into low Earth orbit. And they will basically make their way over to the International Space Station and offload the cargo. That event is planned for the summer. So we're working with the NASA team in terms of, vehicle readiness. And as I mentioned before, in terms of going to the space station, it's a little bit of a different story. We have to have that coordinated with the space station because we're not the only person going to the space station.
Right.
So it's kind of like an airport hub. So we work with NASA, and they decide, okay, here's your window of opportunity to go to the station and offload your cargo. So our team has to work to meet that date and make that happen.
Mike, something else that I learned the last couple days is other launches that I've gone to, there was a window of maybe a few hours, let's say for a Minotaur launch. This one, especially on the first day, I was very surprised that it was 5 o'clock, and that was basically it. I just didn't know that it has to be really narrowed down to the time that the Antares is going to be launched when it does hook up with the space station because it's moving, correct?
Yes. It needs to intercept it. So, it's like if you have to drive to work in the morning and you have to be to work by 8 and it takes you half an hour to get there, you probably want to leave at maybe, 7:25
right.
So you can get there by 8, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a similar scenario where we actually have to hit a tighter window for going to the station. Now, you'll notice that for our test mission launch, we were advertising a window from, 5 to 8 p.m.
Right.
What we did is the evening before, we'd get with NASA, we'd look at the weather, and we'd say, okay, well, let's shoot for the early part of the window or the later part of the window. And, for Sunday, it turns out we actually hit the first part of the window. As soon as it opened up, we nailed it.
Yeah, you sure did.
And, there's things that could have delayed it. If we had some issues, maybe we would have delayed that time. Or if the weather was kind of looking a little bad at 5 and is a little bit better at 6, we probably would have delayed the fuel loading of the vehicle. But when it comes to space station, we're not going to have that luxury of, messing around a little bit with the actual launch time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a little trickier when we get into that scenario. That's just part of the business.
I wanted to, during the press conference after the launch, there was a very, very good question from a young girl, and she said, how much has this project cost? And I was interested to hear that the pad actually came in at $140 million, and that is the new launch pad. Then I understand that Orbital spent $300 million in the spacecraft, and then more than that in the rocket itself. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, it's not a cheap business. as we've talked before, you know, it's a matter of you know, getting a lot of this hardware designed, developed, and tested. Just, you know, you're talking to Mr. Murdoch earlier from ATK. Well, you know, ATK actually had to build up a stage two and do a static fire test of it, and that takes money.
Oh my gosh!
So we do a lot of ground testing to make sure that our hardware is okay and it meets the design parameters. You know, all the engines that come to Wallops for the stage one, the Aerojet engines, AJ-26 engines, they all go through Stennis, Mississippi. You know, we've got to do a test of them there just to make sure they're okay. So, you know, to really make sure we have complete confidence in all the various parts and components and subsystems on the vehicle, we do a lot of ground testing here in various locations, actually, to make sure that we have high confidence in the vehicle when it's time to fly.
You know, let's talk about that stage one engine for a second, that the AJ-26,
yes.
NK-33, because in reading about that, this is really cool. It was originally designed to launch the N1 Russian rocket on lunar missions. And then
that is correct.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was kind of the Russian version of like a Saturn V, if you will. And essentially that program got scrubbed. The Russians canceled it. So we, through Aerojet, basically acquired these engines, did some updates to them for our configuration here. So really, essentially Sunday was the first time these engines have pushed something up into orbit. So it's a rather historical moment.
Oh my goodness. So the Russians never actually used any of these engines?
They did in some testing. They had some some prototype testing that they did and test flights, but they never really got the program off the ground, so to speak. And we're fortunate to go ahead and get these engines and work with Aerojet and test them and understand them. And we obviously just flew them here on Sunday, and they worked fine.
That's fantastic. That is really great. Also, you know, they didn't go to waste.
No, they didn't use them.
Now, before I let you go, Mike, I also want to mention something which I really just found great, just a mission of your company. The ex-commander of the International Space Station and executive vice president and general manager of Advanced Programs Group, Frank Culbertson, he's like a hero to me. He was mentioning and very passionately how important he feels that what Orbital is doing to impact young kids and to really get them interested and excited about STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and math. And I just got to say that's just fantastic for that to be a real mission of your company.
Well, you know, that's true. And actually, Frank is an outstanding gentleman, and I enjoy having the privilege to work with him. For somebody who's you know, so experienced, he's such a you know, easy guy to talk to. He's very knowledgeable. And actually, I share the same you know, passion for teaching the young kids, our next generation, if you will.
Yep.
Eventually, someday I'm going to retire here, and I'd like to have a new crop of kids come in and help me out. But no, it's a good thing, and we've done various tours of our facilities through the space camp over the summer, and that's kind of you know, kind of helping foster the next generation in terms of getting inspired to get into aerospace and you know, kind of reach for the stars.
Very well put. And you know what? And there's a, especially here on Delmarva, there's a lot of kids, you know, what do I do? And for them to have the Wallops Flight Facility right in their backyard, I really hope that it gets out there more and more young people will take advantage of it, of the opportunities.
Yes, Yep.
Well, Mike, thank you so much, and congratulations again to you and your team. I am just so thrilled for you all.
Well, thank you, Robin, and it's been a pleasure speaking with you again.
Okay, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. So that was Mike Whalen. He's the field site manager for the Antares program for Orbital Science Corporation down there at the Wallops Flight Facility. I'm going to have one more guest. His name is Tom Bauer, and he is actually a photographer that Orbital hires, and a very, very cool guy. And I want to find out where we can get some of his pictures. I know, I'm sure if you go to Orbital's website, which is, let me just grab that real fast. I believe it's just orbital.com. Yes, it is. Orbital.com. I'm sure they're going to have some fabulous pictures up there. I hope that a lot of you got to see the launch pad. I do want to mention one thing. I have never seen so many kids, and I mean like 7-year-olds to 5-year-olds, so excited and hearing so many stories about these children being just, I want to see the rocket. I want to see the rocket. Not only that, when I was over at the NASA Visitor Center on Saturday, I saw a gentleman with his little boy. The little boy is about 7 years old, and he was dressed up head to toe as an astronaut. I was killing myself. I didn't have my iPhone with me. I do believe we have Tom on the line. Tom?
Yes, I am.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, just doing great. You are back on your way to Florida?
Yes, I am.
So, Tom, you do work with Orbital. You do a lot of photography for them, for their launches. That's actually how you and I met a couple years ago for the Minotaur launch down there at Wallops.
Exactly.
This is what, when you and I were chatting, and you told me that your very first job as a photographer, for space photographer, was to shoot the very first shuttle mission.
Yes, that's true.
Unbelievable. Why don't you just tell our listeners a little bit about, what you do in conjunction with the photography, and also where they can go and see some of the pictures?
Well, my first space-related job was shooting the first shuttle mission. And then over the course of years, I shot like 115 different shuttle missions, maybe 200 or 300 other rocket type launches. And most of my work I do for Orbital right now, but I do architectural photography also. And my website is www.tombauer.com. It's T-H-O-M-B-A-U-R.
Now, you were telling me that you actually have cameras on the launch pad.
We actually have them inside the launch pad. They're maybe 100 yards away from the pad. And they work by sound triggers. As soon as the engines ignite, the cameras start. Then you get a whole sequence of pictures as it rises into the sky.
Oh, my. I've never even heard of that, camera starting by sound triggers.
It's pretty popular. I mean, it's been around for many, many years. And different people build different types of triggers and stuff like that, but that's the most popular one right now with sound.
Now, will we? Because unfortunately, we got together last night, and I wasn't able to see any pictures. Will you have some of these in pictures of the Antares on your website?
Not right away, because I had to go through all of them. Orbital should have some of them on their website.
Okay, great. I just gave that. I'm hoping that they will. Because so far from what I've seen, pretty amazing, really spectacular.
And also, spaceflightnow.com has pictures there too, and some of those are mine.
And that's spaceflight?
Yeah, spaceflightnow.com.
Okay, spaceflightnow.com. Right. Well, you're going to be back up for the summer, right, for the summer launch?
Yes.
And I look forward to seeing you. You have a safe drive to Florida.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It was nice seeing you again, too.
Same here, Tom. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you.
Tom Bauer, I want to mention something, and they probably will also be on Orbital's website, orbital.com. I understand that the actual rocket had cameras on it as well and was taking pictures as it's going up, taking pictures back down at Earth. So, and from what one person did see a picture and said that it is really spectacular. Well, thank you, everyone, and thanks again to my guests, Hal Murdoch from ATK, Mike Whalen from Orbital Science Corporation, and Tom Bauer, great photographer of the Antares Project. I'm Robin Rothschild, and this has been the Wallops and Assateague Island Report. Bye-bye.
This has been the Wallops and Assateague Island Report.